This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons, live at Fenway Park, and joining us now here on WEEI Afternoons is the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. He is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John's Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Alex, how are we doing this week?
Doing okay.
Feels like a loaded question when I say that, right?
I'm doing okay.
We were just talking about good Chinese food and Mai Tais, so yeah. If you could get an order in here right now, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Mai Tai Johnny.
So obviously, I heard you answer a couple questions yesterday about Rafi Devers and the possibility of playing first base with very short answers. No, you haven't talked to him about it. No, you don't plan to. So I guess my follow-up, not being there then, is why will you not talk to him about it? Why does he not make sense to be an option for first base after the Casas injury?
I think where we're at right now with him, you know, he's very comfortable with his role, right? And we asked him to do something in spring training that, as you guys know, he didn't agree in the beginning. And then little by little, he has embraced because he knows the quality of the player that we have at third base, where we at as a team. I always said that time is our best friend in situations like this. And you know, this is too recent. You know, like Tristan got hurt Saturday, you know, and we got some capable players. Romy's having a good season. Toro, you saw him yesterday. He put some good at-bats. So I'm not saying we'll never have that conversation, but I think for now where we at, I like Rafi as a DH. I like him as my DH. You take away the first weekend of the season, he's been one of the best hitters in the big leagues, and he's doing an outstanding job.
You know, I guess just to follow that up, because you know Craig Breslow said basically alluded to the fact that all scenarios are on the table, and particularly about possibility of Rafi maybe playing first. So you just said it's not maybe a hard and fast kind of no at this point. So you're still open to possibly at a certain time down the road having Rafi maybe play first if that's what the team needs.
I mean, to be fair, you know, with the player, I think, like I said, he's getting used to this position and he's been really good. I know that people think that you just stick him at first and see what happens, you know? And I actually had a conversation with my brother today about different scenarios and all that. And if you think about it, there's three players. Well, everybody has to be involved in the game, right? Defensively, you have to. But the catcher, the pitcher, and the first baseman, they have to be locked in. And it's not that easy. You know, positioning is a lot different than in the past. I think in the past, you just say, okay, put him at first base and just catch throws. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at it, we play the first baseman off, and there's different alignments. You know, we can say, okay, Rafi's going to play first. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen in 5 days, you know. So there's a process, and it's a long process too. So, but like I said, for the player, to be fair with him, I think we're in a good spot with him where he's at mentally and with his process and, you know, getting used to what he's doing. And in my opinion, to throw something at him right now, it'll be very unfair.
So Casas is out for the season, and obviously doing well. Quick question on that. How's the recovery going so far?
Painful. You know, I talked to him yesterday. It just so recent, right? I think the process started today as far as, like, the rehab. But one thing about him, man, is it's amazing. You know, like, you talk to him, and the first thing he talks is what happened on the field, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. How are you doing? That's right. The most important thing. He's in good hands. I think our trainers are one of the best, if not the best, in the big leagues, you know, and he'll be back whenever it is, you know, he'll be back and he's going to be okay.
But I imagine you guys are not just looking for a piecemeal solution to first base. You're looking for some sort of like long-term answer. I don't know if there's some sort of papal conclave that happens where you guys all get together and try to think about who's going to come over there at first, or if maybe you're going to give other guys consideration. Like, for example, have you talked to anybody else on staff, maybe a Trevor Story or Christian Campbell, since he's had a little positional versatility?
No,
no,
we haven't done
nobody?
That. But one of the things, and then as you guys know, he works in sports and works in everything, right? You have conversations, you know,
sure.
And not everybody needs to know what's going on in there, right? And me and Craig, we have a lot of respect. We like working with each other, and I think the common goal here is to win the World Series. And we understand that there's a different team today than what it was Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before the season started, we were talking about Tristan Casas hitting fourth, playing first base, and hitting 35 home runs, right?
40, actually.
And 40, actually. 40. Yeah, 40. And he's not going to be able to do that. So we have to make adjustments. It doesn't have to be right now. We'll explore every option, and then we'll make decision based on the team.
So you mentioned that it is fresh, and it doesn't have to be right now, but do you put a goal like out there by this, you know, by midseason, I want to have that position settled, or do you just sort of roll with the nightly punches?
Well, I'll tell you what, if Romy Gonzalez still hitting 350, then he's the answer, easy, right? He's a good defender. He's a good athlete. You know, the one thing about this, obviously, the negative, we don't have Tristan, you know, the hitter, the power. If we're going to take something positive out of this bad situation, Romy's very athletic. We can be more aggressive running the bases. He's a good defender. And he's actually putting good at bats. So hopefully he's the answer, you know, and we don't have to explore any other venue. But, you know, we'll keep talking about it.
Alex, changing gears just a little bit. You know, so far 4-9 in one-run game. So not where you want. Over the weekend against Minnesota, a couple bunts that were effective. Is that maybe a prelude to maybe more – you know, small ball or a shift in philosophy when it comes to those tight games that you've been in?
Well, especially with the top four hitters that we have. You know, the close games, you have to win. We talk about you have to win the games that you have to win, right? And if you go to Cleveland, we were up 3-0 in Tanner's outing. We lost that game.
Yep.
We lost the 2 in Toronto. We lost 1 against Minnesota. The hammy bunt was on his own, and he's very dynamic. He actually – something we've been talking about him to him for a while, man. Like, when you run like that, you can avoid the 0-for-10, 0-for-14. You just drop one down, and probably you're going to be safe at first. There were 2 sack bunts over the weekend, just trying to maximize the top of the lineup. I know they brought a lefty for Jaron and Rafi, but I truly believe that those three up there – with men in scoring position, they should cash in, right? And obviously, we're not swinging the bat the way we're capable. If you look at us, we're very inconsistent. We are. You know, we score 10, we score 1, we score 7, we don't score. And it's been going on early in the season. So maximizing opportunities is something that, you know, last weekend, I look at it and we have to do it, you know. But whenever we get going offensively, then we just let him do the thing, and we can score runs in bunches.
Consistently inconsistent was the line I gave you a couple of weeks ago about how the season's been thus far, and it seems to be ebbing and flowing like that as well. And earlier, just cut to 2 weeks ago, Slayton was dropping the hook late in games, looked unhittable. My guy Garrett Whitlock, just I always call him right-handed Andrew Miller. You can do so much with him. And they were cruising. And then last week, the stumble, tough at-bats against Vladdy, and then Sunday's game. It's almost like it was a print and repeat of what had happened a few days prior. What happened in the Sunday meltdown with Whitlock and Slayton?
I think putting guys away with 2 strikes. If you look at the series in Toronto, they got 3 hits on breaking balls with 2 strikes. Same thing happened the next day, the last day of the series, and it happened against Minnesota too. And this is about execution. I don't think it's about game planning. You know, we have to be better in those counts. And if we have to bounce it, we have to bounce it. You know,
right.
These guys, they're too good, especially with slow stuff in the zone. You know, everybody's geared up for the fastball because of they have to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
98, 99. And with 2 strikes, you either go up, 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 or down, 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 make them chase. I think the best bullpens in the big leagues from the 7th inning on, teams don't put the ball in play against them. They get their punch outs. We're really good about inducing swing and misses. We're not great at getting strikeouts. So hopefully it's going to even out because the stuff is there, but we have to do a better job executing pitches.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora with WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park. You just mentioned the best bullpens, sit-down lineups in 7-8-9. Your offense has been front-loaded in games, the batting averages, the splits, first 3 innings, last 3 innings. Aberrational, is there a reason for that? Put a finger on that, concern?
You can look at us being dominant early on. I don't feel that way. I think starters are going 6 innings against us. And when they go 6, you get 7, 8, 9, and it's the high leverage guys. You know, we can do a better job putting starters away. For example, on Sunday, we score early, the pitch count was up, but their guy went 6, and then after that, they lined up their relievers, and they did an amazing job.
Yep.
Bullpens at this level, they're elite. You know, it doesn't matter if you have 22 wins or you only have 5. You know, they're really good because the stuff is great. I think we have to do a better job getting to the low leverage relievers, right? And that's where the fun starts. And we haven't done that this season.
You mentioned the starting pitching, you know, 16 games in a row where they went 5-plus innings except for last night. That was an issue, the starting pitching to start the season. It feels like it's evened out now. Just your thoughts overall on your starting pitch.
They've done an outstanding job. I saw that stat about quality starts, you know, first time that has happened since 17, I think it was. And if you look at the games, yeah, it makes sense. You know, we've been in games in the 6th inning and 7th inning because of what they have done. This season, as a staff, we've been very aggressive letting them go, because if you look at them, when they get to the 6th, they've been efficient, their stuff is really good, and they've done their job. And that's the key of surviving 162. If your starters give you 6, you're going to be in a good spot. Obviously, the bullpen has struggled as of late, but things should level out, and we should be okay.
On the starter front, any concern with Crochet with the glancing ball that hit him on Sunday?
No, he's okay. It's funny, I go to the mound with our trainer, and we're very concerned, and he's not bleeding. I went back to Rocky IV, you know,
yeah.
Ivan Drago. I'm like, this guy's a machine, you know, but he did a good job, grinded through it.
Yeah.
He wasn't feeling great either before the game. He was a little bit under the weather. So 5 innings was perfect for us. We had our guys lined up. It just didn't happen.
And how's Walker Buehler doing?
He's doing okay. He played catch yesterday. He's going to do it again today. Probably a bullpen over the weekend. We're shooting probably for the end of the Detroit series or the first series back when we come from Detroit, which is Atlanta or the Mets, I think it is.
You've been very consistent with your messaging. We're a good baseball team. We're going to be a good baseball team. But Ted and I, the old Parcells term is, you are what your record says
you are. Yeah.
And right now you're a sub-500 baseball team. How do you sort of bring those two ideas together?
Well, when you look at the division, we're 2.5 games back. It is what it is, right? We're playing under 500, but the division has been bad. You know, everybody thought that we were going to be the NL West, right? Everybody playing over 500. It hasn't happened. You can call it luck, or this is the season we're playing in, right? And we're just 2.5 games back, and we haven't played good baseball.
Masataka Yoshida, it still feels like the shoulder. For him to come up to the big leagues or start playing, get on the roster, does he have to be able to play in the field as well as DH?
Yeah, I mean, he has to play on the field where we're at right now. He just had a shot 2 days ago. He's not even swinging now. You know, we have to make sure the shot, you know, does his job, you know, so we just have to be patient with him.
And I'll eschew asking about the kids down in Worcester, just because, you know, I know there's obviously no room for them right now. I've seen the highlights. They're looking great. But last night, it has got to kill you watching Nate Eovaldi pitch so well against you guys time and again, knowing how important he was to you in 2018. He seems to always save his best stuff up against you. And now with Mally tonight, it's not going to be any easier to get the offense back on track.
We've been facing good pitching too. I mean, people talk about the schedule and playing teams under 500. We face Barrios, we face Ryan, we're facing Nate. This guy today, he's a monster too. So he's not easy. And I told you guys a few weeks ago, and this is all over the place, you know, like there's good pitching in the big leagues. We just have to be better with Nate. Hate when he pitches against us. Hate it, you know, but he's my guy, man. What he did for us in 18, second to none, obviously, all those guys from the starting rotation. And he cares about the city. He still loves it. It just matters that, you know, Arlington is very close to Houston, and that's home for him.
Yep.
All right, Alex, appreciate you joining us as you do every week. And good luck tonight. Winning streak starts with one, right?
Let's go. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Alex. We'll talk to you next week. Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox, here with WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we'll react to some of the comments from the manager and look ahead to tonight's game, where the Red Sox look to snap a 3-game losing streak.